not becoming my mother, and other things she taught me along the way. My mother's name was Miriam, but most people called her Mim. She was such a character that as a child I developed a special form of literature. It was known as the Mim Tale. I've got Mim Tales by the dozen, and I've used them for years to entertain my friends. As a writer, I've always known how lucky I was to have so much material, and my first book opened with a Mim Tale. Then last year, on what would have been her 100th birthday, I sat down to write one of those speeches in which people traditionally thank their mothers. I scribbled words unknowingly, but when I looked down at the page, I found that I had written something like a Mim Tale. But this was different, in a different voice, more hers than mine, and it was finally telling her side of the story. Quote, "My mother would have been 100 years old today," the speech began, "and I've been thinking about her and how she helped me to become the person I am." She did not do it in any of the ordinary ways. She was not a great writer or a great businesswoman or even, if truth be told, a particularly good mother. I think she tried to be a good wife, but she wasn't much at keeping house, and I don't think I've ever met anyone who was a worse cook. But my mother was a great example of everything I didn't want to be. And to this day, I wake up every morning grateful that I'm not her. Grateful, in fact, not to be any of the women of her generation, who were unlucky enough to have been born at what seems to me to have been the worst possible time to have been a middle-class American woman. Well, it's not the most upbeat title. It's not the most upbeat introductory words, are they? But the title, Not Becoming My Mother, belies the gist of a book, which is Ruth Reichl seeking out the past to discover who her mother really was, as best as Reichl or any one of us can determine the answer to that question. Who was Ruth Reichl's mother, not as the mom she knew growing up, when the best Reichl could manage was seeing her mother as a child would, but rediscovering her mother, now that the grown-up Ruth Reichl is an adult, seeking to rediscover and learn about a fellow adult. It's all the more powerful a story because this is a true life story that so many of us find ourselves wondering about once we become adults ourselves, and perhaps parents too. What was Mom thinking as she went about raising her family? What were Mom's dreams as a girl, as a young woman, as a new wife? All of these questions put quite a different spin on the book's at first off-putting title. And realizing what Reichl is attempting to accomplish, what she's trying to put her arms around, makes this book one that grabbed my interest from the start. Don't many of us want to learn about our parents as adults, now that we are adults ourselves? It all begins, as we heard at the opening, with Reichl's curiosity about her mother. She remembered a treasure trove of long-lost writings from her late mother, buried somewhere in the family's cluttered basement. With not a little trepidation, Reichl seeks out that old, musty box of paper, and then, on a dare to herself, dives into the welter of short, heart-filled notes, clippings, written-down memories she discovers in that box. A small box of papers that Reichl uses to reformat her much-treasured memory of a woman she remembered as a kind, if sometimes overbearing, and ever-present in her young life. But let's let Ruth Reichl tell us that part of the story herself. Like most women, Reichl writes, I decided who my mother was long ago, sometime during childhood. The comic character of the Mim Tales was safe now. I had spent many years making peace with her. Her voice was no longer inside my head. It was a relief to have all of that behind me. I was reluctant to replace the mother I thought I knew with someone else. Why go looking for trouble? But I owed it to my mother, and I knew it. Still, every time I headed toward the basement, where the box of diaries might be tucked away, I experienced an urgent need to bake a pie, run an errand, wax the floors. In the end, I managed to persuade myself that a box was very likely to be lost. that gave me the courage to finally open up the basement door and creep slowly down the chilly stairs. Feeling like Pandora, I picked my way through outgrown skis, discarded tools, old menus, and ancient typewriters, peering into the dusty cartons that towered over me. The one containing Mom's notes was nowhere to be found. I was beginning to breathe easy when I stumbled over a once shiny white box held together with pieces of twine. Blowing off the dirt, I read Miriam's Life and Letters, penciled in my father's calligraphic script, the writing almost obliterating the stamped B. Altman and Company beneath it. The top crumbled in my hand. It had been years since anyone had touched it, and opened to reveal a huge collection of letters, notes, and clippings. Looking down, I caught sight of my mother's bold handwriting and inhaled sharply. It was as if she was suddenly with me, there in the basement. And as I bent to pick up a slip of paper covered with her vivid scrawl, I could almost hear her voice. I sat down on the cold cement floor and let the words float over me. I hope Ruthie won't rush into marriage the way I did the first time. I felt so desperate, and I wanted someone to lean on. I pray she'll never feel that way. My parents thought I ought to be married, but was that really true? What if I had never married? Would my life have been better? Reichel writes, I felt a little sick. With these first words, I discovered someone new. Mom's first marriage had truly been a disaster. I had always known that. But I thought she had loved my father. But this note, written 10 years into the marriage, holds a decline, a definite note of regret. Was I prepared to find out why? I dropped the letter and picked up another, written in a safely unfamiliar hand. The script was tight and slightly cramped. Dated 1925, it began, Dear Dadsey Boy, the brown ink wavering uncertainly on creamery stationery. Mom's sister, I thought, the one who died long before I was born. I'm glad I'm over here and not at home. It's so hard to keep pure ideals at home when all anybody talks about is society, the letter wrote. The letter went on, a virtuous little screed about living an upright life. This sister sounded like such a goody-two-shoes, so different from my dynamic mother, that I began to wonder why Mom had left her with such fierceness. Still trying to picture this long-dead aunt, I spotted the signature and realized it did not belong to her after all. My mother, 17, had signed the letter. This was not the young mom I had imagined, and I released the letter, heart beating, to peer down into the box. The woman Reichel discovers is not the woman Reichel thought she knew growing up as her Mim. The young Mim Reichel was a headstrong, surprisingly strongly prim and proper view of the world. How the world ought to act and be. She found a woman frustrated by social conventions that denied her and her friends the opportunity to work. A woman determined to bring up her daughter, who would have a career and not be trapped in a marriage. Reichel's mother had wanted to become a physician, she discovered, like her father. But instead of a career in medicine, she was offered instead the opportunity to earn a PhD in music in Paris. A parental compromise her mother accepted and grudgingly achieved in no small self-abnegation attempt at life. Then, returning to a June Cleaver America, her mom's efforts at running a small bookstore were snuffed out by her first husband, who demanded that she become a housemaker, a homemaker, albeit with a PhD. And so it was fated for her mom to suffer through a bad first marriage and come into her own only later in her married life with a second and more successful pairing. But most of all, Reichel, and we, her readers, peering over her shoulder, as it were, are struck by Reichel's mom's strong, ever-present, and often stated desire that her daughter not grow up to be the woman her mom had become. In the end, Not Becoming My Mother is a book for so many of us to read, an inspiration for so many of us bring into our lives. Who really was my mother? Who was my father? What were their dreams growing up? What did they expect of life as young adults? What were they pleased with as they grew deeper into adult life? as they had kids of their own. It's a series of stories we can each compose, a series of stories that are as unique as each one of us, as unique as each one of our parents. Now, you may remember Ruth Reichel as the editor of the late and lamented Gourmet magazine, a story she tells, and which I reviewed in her book, Save Me the Plums. Or perhaps you know Reichel from her many other journals, books, her work with the Los Angeles Times and the New York Times. If you do, you know that Reichel has a journalist's touch with words. It's all but impossible to put down this book once you start reading. The prose is that smooth, that captivating. And so let's allow Reichel the last word on this topic, on her book. Words that might just set you and me off onto our own journeys of discovery in this time of stay-at-homeness, when rediscovering those who brought us into this world may be just the prompt we need to make sense of the contemporary, topsy-turvy world we're living in today. The chapter is titled Gifts, and it reads in part this way. That last letter was my mother's final gift to me, and I read it with tears running down my face. She had no way to know that I would ever find it or how happy I would be to discover that at the end of her life, she finally found true self. She had traveled through obedience to anger and rebellion and finally came to rest in a place where she was not only independent, but also happy. Meeting Mom, the real Mom, was even harder than I expected. I never thought her life was easy, but until I read her letters, Mom's most important lesson was how to be a mother. I see now how hard she tried to be a good one, despite her many handicaps. Her struggle with her own mother had shown her that it was important to encourage your children to be themselves, even if they do not turn out to be the people you wish they were. And so she urged me to independence, asking only that I work hard, be kind, and live up to my own possibilities. Growing up, Reichel writes, I was utterly oblivious to the fact that Mom was teaching me all of that. But I was instantly aware of her final lesson, which was hidden in her last letters and notes. As I read them, I began to understand in the end, you are the only one who can make yourself happy. More important, Mom showed me that it is never too late to find out how to do it. What a wonderful book, written in 2009, but so appropriate to today, when we're trying to rediscover ourselves in this new life of COVID-inspired living. Not Becoming My Mother, and Other Things She Taught Me Along the Way. It's a book I hope you treasure as much as I do. It's by Ruth Reichel, and it's available at all of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you for listening.